You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here, and I just want to be able to bring us back to why we really exist. You know, you've heard me say over and over again that the local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you've been around New Point for very long, you probably noticed that we have some phrases that we like to repeat over and over again, because we believe that it brings us back to the main reason why we exist. One of those is this, that we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. I mean, many of you can say that. We also believe that our faith is personal, but God never meant for it to be private. And that really our ultimate goal here in leading you to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ is to encourage you and to equip you to pursue three vital relationships. One is connecting with God. One is connecting with others. And the other one is connecting others to God. Now, in 2017, we really want to turn up the heat on this last relationship, and that is connecting others to God. Do you realize that there is only one degree between hot water and boiling water? You see, 211 is still hot water. It has to go to 212 to be boiling water. And though I believe all of us know that everybody spends forever somewhere, I'm not for sure if it's boiling in our hearts. And we want to be able to focus on that in 2017. And so we're going to dive headfirst into that today. And I've invited a personal friend of mine, Doug Pollock, who's going to come and share with us about how you and I can help people take their next step wherever they're at in their spiritual journey. Doug is an author. He's written two books, Irresistible Evangelism and also God Space. And he goes all around the world in teaching and training people in how they can help their family and friends and people in their life take their next step in their spiritual journey towards God. So would you welcome him? Let's welcome Doug this morning. We're glad that you're here, buddy. God bless you. Share with us.
Thank you, Dwight. Happy New Year. New Point. I am so excited to be here with you and kick off this first live service of 2017, but you have absolutely no idea what it's costing me to be here today. Your pastor, Dwight, asked me to make a New Year's resolution, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've been on 33 years of ministry in 40 different countries all over the world, and I've never been asked to do something that I understand he does regularly, week in and week out here. He made me promise that in order to be on this stage today, I had to preach with no socks on. So New Point, here I am. I'm ready to preach here at New Point in 2017. How many of you just are a little convinced that maybe Dwight needs a little therapy here in 2017? Dwight, are you okay? Well, I think if we're going to get this new year started off right, how about some heavenly perspective? And this would be a good time, if you're following along with me, to pull out the notes. And I'd like to share with you some heavenly perspective for 2017. Big thought here as we begin our time this morning. If God has done something in you, he wants to do something through you. He wants to use you where you are with what you know in the new year. If this is true, here's a challenge that I call the Each One, Reach One Challenge. I believe with all my heart that God has put each of you where you are with what you know for a divine purpose. New Point, God wants to use you as his mailman in 2017. Now, why do I say this? Well, when I look at the special delivery that came in Jesus as he became flesh and dwelt among us and brought the good news to us, he began his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 with these words. First words coming out of his mouth as he calls his disciples to follow him. He says, hey, if you're going to hang out with me, and I'm going to use kind of my language, today's language, if you're going to hang out with me 24/7, you're going to follow me, I'm going to teach you how to engage other men and women so that they too would understand the good news of the kingdom. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Halfway through his ministry, Jesus spoke these words, which I think if he were here today bodily and he had an office here at New Point, this would probably be on his wall as his purpose statement. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. So we get this idea from Jesus that from the beginning of his ministry to the end, because when he ends his ministry, as he's speaking to disciples, he spoke these words in John chapter 20, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That we are God's mailman, that he intended for us to show up in our day-to-day worlds ready to deliver his mail. Now, the Apostle Paul certainly grasped this idea because we get this idea from his writings in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He said this, by the inspiration of the Spirit, so we have been sent to speak for Christ. It is like God is calling to people through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. Wow. When I read these two passages and I consider what's being said here by Jesus and the Apostle Paul, I get this idea that church, really showing up at church, is like showing up at God's post office. And that we're his mailman and that we gather on Sunday so that we can scatter Monday through Saturday to deliver his mail to the people on our route. I don't know if you've ever considered that before, but each of you have what I would call a daily route. The daily route is where the rhythm of our life naturally causes us to cross the path of those who are outside the faith but inside our reach. Now, I'm not sure how this has happened, but for some reason, people across this country have embraced an attitude about Christianity which I think has kept us from delivering God's mail. For some reason, people get this idea that a good Christian is someone who shows up at the right place, at the right time, and hangs out with the right kinds of people. And yet, when you look at the life of Jesus, you get this idea that Jesus was always hanging around with the wrong kinds of people at the wrong kinds of times in the wrong kinds of places. So somehow Christians think if I show up on Sunday, I'm in the right building, hanging out with other Christians, and I'm giving money, I'm tithing, I'm a good Christian. The reality is you could actually be doing all that and really be missing the Jesus of the Bible who has called us all into this incredible sacred experience of sharing this good news with other people. Question for you this morning, New Point. Who would you like to see come to faith in the new year? Picture it in your mind right now, a year from now. Who would you like to see sitting here experiencing life in Christ who's presently not yet a Christian? You know, I'm not sure where this got started and how it's been passed on over the years, but for some reason it seems like we have this custom at the new year to kind of look back over the past year and ask ourselves, what do we want to do better in 2017? So I'd like to invite you for a moment maybe to do that as it comes to the topic we're on here this morning. As you look back over 2016, what hindered you from actually delivering God's mail to the people on your route? I don't know why this is, but it seems like a lot of Christians in this PC world we live in have kind of have signed off on this social contract which says we're not allowed to share our faith with other people. And as I interact with God's people all over the world, I've found that there are similar reasons that people give me all the time, and I'd like to invite you to follow along with me again in your notes. I'm going to peruse through 6 or 7 of them, and what I'd like you to do as we do this is I'd like you to circle the ones that you feel like, wow, that's got my name on it. That's really, when I look back over 2016, why I haven't been sharing God's good news with the people on my route. The first one is a fear of failure. Second one, a lot of people are saying this these days, I'm just too busy, Doug. I'm just too busy to get involved. I'm too busy to care. A third one, a lot of times people will tell me, Doug, I just lack confidence and competence. The fourth one, people often say, well, Doug, I'm afraid I'll be asked questions I just can't answer. How many of you, for you, that's a pretty big one. I often find that's a pretty big one for folks. Anybody here? Okay. Other people tell me that they're afraid of being labeled, kind of being one of those kind of Christians in the neighborhood or one of those kind of Christians at the office. Others tell me they're afraid of losing their friendships. Others tell me it's because of their personality. And often this usually tends to be more people who say, hey, Doug, I'm a little more introverted. I don't do the words thing very well. And I often kind of chuckle. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I say, well, I'm curious. Do you have a smartphone? I ask them that question, and often they say yes. And I say, well, could you like pull up pictures of loved ones or people that you really care about right now and tell me a little bit about them? And it's just like clockwork. They instantly can do this because obviously they have an intimate relationship with these people and they care deeply about them. And I stop and say, you know, that's really all we're talking about here. I mean, we're talking about the lover of our soul, and we're talking about cherishing him publicly, just like you did right now when you pulled out your iPhone and dialed up the picture of that loved one and began to tell me and talk to me about them. That's really what we're talking about when it comes to sharing Jesus to the people on our day-to-day route. Here's what I think I know about you. Here at New Point, your pastors and leaders, obviously, to me, are crazy. Why? Well, because as Dwight likes to say, if people aren't telling you from time to time you're crazy, you're not thinking big enough. I'm just curious. Some of you tuned in on New Year's Day, and you heard him talk about the 10 by 20 plan. How many of you honestly think, that's just a little out there? That's just a little crazy. 10,000 people connected to New Point by the year 2020. That's a big, crazy goal. But if I could shoot it straight with you, I think God is honored by big goals like that. Maybe that's why he asked his people this question in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. He said, is there anything too hard for me? By the way, I honestly think your goal is too small, if I'm going to be honest with you. Here's why I would say that. If everyone today responded to this Each One, Reach One challenge, my understanding is there's 5,000 people or so connected to New Point right now. If everybody in this next year just reached one person, and there'd be one person here next year that's not presently here, you guys would already reach that goal by the year 2018. So I'd like you to maybe challenge you to raise the bar to 2020. Kind of has a nice ring, doesn't it? But regardless of these kind of goals, I think we eventually get down to where the rubber meets the road, and that is, how do we pull this off? How do we pull this whole idea of taking God's never-changing message to an ever-changing world? And how do we really actually engage the people in our day-to-day life? That's really what I call the million-dollar question. It's how do I deliver God's mail in practical, doable, and authentic ways to people who are constantly changing their spiritual address. Let's turn to the scriptures to get some insight here. And I want to turn to a passage found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Here we're told that we are admonished to be wise when we engage with those who are presently outside the faith community, making the most of every moment and every encounter. What would that look like if that was the only passage of scripture we committed ourselves to living out this year in 2017? Well, when I think about that passage, I get this thought. We have to learn how to start where people are, not where we'd like them to be. And this is a real game changer when you stop to think about it. See, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but everyone has a spiritual address. And one of the reasons why sometimes our mail gets returned to sender is because we're sending our gospel mail to the wrong spiritual address. Everybody is living somewhere in relationship to God. And the challenge is, how can we meet them where they presently are living and residing and journey with them one step at a time, one aha at a time, one touch at a time, so that they might come to the foot of the cross and say, I do to Jesus, the eternal lover of their souls. I'd like to use an analogy from the sport that many of us watched last weekend, and you noticed today I'm not wearing scarlet and gray. I usually wear scarlet and gray when it comes to my Buckeye gear, but today I'm in black because I'm still mourning after last week's debacle. We just got slacked. But I want to use an analogy from the sport of football because we're in football season, and I hope this kind of brings this whole idea of starting where people are, not where we'd like them to be, kind of home with you, and it might be helpful to you as you think about this in your world. You know, in the sport of football, the game starts when one team kicks off and the other team receives. The team who receives has to start the game where they catch the ball, not where they'd like to catch it. That's where the game begins. And in the same way, I'd like to suggest to you that the people on your route are somewhere in relationship to God. Let's say for the sake of this example, God was on this end of the field. How many of you right now have somebody in your life who is a long, long way away from God, all the way back here to the other end zone, and is very resistant to the claims of Christianity? Anybody have somebody like that in your life? Okay. How do we engage somebody like that? How do we meet them? And if you would, in the sport of football, the whole idea is to kind of move the ball. I'd like to suggest one of the reasons why we, as Buckeye fans, got it handed to us last weekend is because the Buckeyes couldn't seem to move the ball. They couldn't seem to commit themselves to first downs and sustained drives to get themselves into a position to score touchdowns. And then when we did, we missed two field goals. Well, if we're going to start where people are, we need to understand that somebody who is a long, long way of God is very resistant to the claims of Christ, probably is not ready to be invited to come to New Point. You could invite, but they're probably not going to respond. So what do we do with that? In a moment, I'll share a story that might be helpful in that. But I think there are other people that may be on this side of the 50-yard line who are, let's call them apathetic. And it kind of sounds something like this. Hey, if this is your thing, that's fine. Just don't push it on to me. Anybody have somebody like that in your life? It's just kind of like, I'm excited for you. You know, you just seem to have found a home there at New Point, and you're really into it. And it's just not my thing. How do we engage people like that and move the ball? Or how about people maybe who are on this side of the 50 and they're curious, and these are the kind of people who, when you invite big, they're going to respond. They're going to come to that Easter service. They're going to come to that big event you do here at New Point because they're curious. They're intrigued by the fact that they just see a change in your life, and they see the excitement when you talk about your relationship with Christ and your experience with New Point. And they say, I want to check that out. People like that often will respond to an invitation to come and see what's going on here. And then there's some other people who are what I would call in the red zone. You know that place on the football field 20 yards on in? Who are real close. They're seeking. Question for you, New Point. Do you feel like you know how to help someone cross, so to speak, the goal line of faith so that they could experience what you've come to know in a relationship with Jesus? Now, if you know anything about good football teams are committed to first downs and sustained drives. Granted, on ESPN, they always play the highlights, the big plays, the ball that's thrown so far, and a Hail Mary pass, and a team scores in the last couple seconds and win the game. You know what I'm convinced? I'm convinced that so many Christ followers feel like failures when it comes to the sacred work because they don't have many big, exciting touchdown stories. The reality is, I've got some of those, but they are the exception, not the norm. But the reality is, we need to commit ourselves to what I call the nudging ministry. How do we kind of, if you would, move and nudge the ball one step closer? What if we could just be faithful to that in the new year and leave the results to God and see what he does with that? Now, I have a story I'd like to share with you that maybe would illustrate this point very well. I call it a framing story. I hope it helps to frame your thinking as you think about living this out in your own world. This story actually started way back in the year 2000. In that year, I decided to do something, probably one of the craziest decisions I've ever made in my life. You know, as a faith missionary, I didn't maybe have a whole lot of money, but every once in a while, I had some time in my schedule, and I decided, hey, what if I signed up to be my own general contractor, build my wife and I's dream house? So I started that project and prayed that God would protect me from my lack of experience. And every day on my job site, there were guys who definitely were outside the faith, but they were inside my reach. And one of my prayers is not only would God help us build a house, but that as we were building the house, we would also advance his kingdom. And there were five guys I got to know especially well because they were part of my, what I call, framing crew. And I decided to do what Dwight challenged you to do last week in the New Year's Day online service. He said, hey, I really want to challenge you to invite big. So Dwight, that's what I did. I decided, you know, early on in my relationship with these five framers that Billy Graham was coming to town. This is the year 2000. It was the last visit to Cincinnati, and I'm thinking it doesn't get any better than Billy Graham. Surely these guys would be interested to go to Billy Graham down at the Bengals Stadium. So I showed up one day on the job site and said, hey, guys, I'm just wondering, are you guys going to go check out Billy Graham? And I wish you could have been there to see the response. It was all time. They turned, and they had like a what I call a chiropractic moment. And they looked at me and said, why in the hell would we do that? I said, the only time we go to the Bengals stadium is to get drunk and watch the Bengals lose. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, where do I go from here? Anybody ever feel like you've maybe invited big and you didn't get the response that you wanted? Can I make an important announcement here today? It's very important that we understand this. As exciting as New Point is, inviting somebody to New Point, it might be as scary to them as maybe inviting you as Christians to go to a hardcore biker bar or go to a gay bar. Now, you might not see yourself as scary people, but for somebody who's an outsider to come into a place where people are singing songs to somebody they can't see, and then paying for a 45-minute monologue as somebody talks at you through something called an offering. And then if you're lucky, you get to drink the blood of Jesus and eat his body. For people outside the faith, they just don't get that. That's pretty scary. And so sometimes we just need to understand people are not ready to be invited yet because of where they are in their journey. So I kind of gathered myself after I was politely said, there is no way we'd go see Billy Graham. And I started praying, God, where do we go with this next? So one day we're eating in the basement and taking a lunch break. And the biggest guy in the framing crew looks at me and he says, hey, Doug, what do you do for a living? Now, Dwight, you think you got it bad? You tell people you're a pastor? Try tell somebody you're the evangelism trainer for Athletes in Action sometime and see if that gets you invited to a whole lot of parties. So in the spirit of Colossians 4:5, I didn't think it was really wise to lead off with this card. So I said, well, Ron, thanks for the question. Could I back up a little bit and go historical on you and just share a little bit about what happened earlier in my life that kind of set in motion what I'm doing presently in life? And he said, sure, go for it, Doug. So I started to share a little of my God story. I kept it kind of tight. I didn't want to oversupply and kill the demand. Shared a little bit, and Ron said, well, you know, that's kind of interesting, Doug. I got a question. And as soon as he asked a question, the other four guys on the framing crew literally dogpiled on Ron and started to mock him right in front of me. Oh, Ronnie, want to get some religion now, huh, Ronnie? Hey, guys, Ronnie's going to get religious on us. And Ron looked at them, not intimidated at all. He looked at them, shot them one of those looks, and he said, hey, guys, what are you laughing about? You know you're going to be in hell with me someday. And you know what? Not a one of them disputed that claim. So I have made an observation that Ron knew his buddies well enough to know that they all deserved to go to hell, and there was nobody arguing the point. So here I am, an evangelism trainer. I've got five people in my basement confessing that they're all on a highway to hell, no stop signs, no speed limits, nobody's going to slow them down. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I say next? You ever find yourself in one of those situations, you're not quite sure what to say? And before I could come up with something, the conversation changed and moved to another direction, and I just felt like it'd be really weird to try and get it back. And I felt like I had just fumbled the ball, like I'd just blown it. Anybody ever feel like you missed an opportunity where God might have been calling your number and saying, hey, it's time for you to get in the game, and you just missed the opportunity? That's how I felt that day. So I went out and began to talk to God about that. I told him I was sorry. I wasn't sure, you know, in the moment where to go. I wasn't afraid to say anything. It's just I wasn't sure what would be the wisest thing to say. And what God showed me in my failure has helped thousands of people all over the world. So if you've missed an opportunity, here's a way you literally can reclaim those kind of opportunities. I call it wandering back into a conversation. And what the Holy Spirit inspired me to do is to take a look at, well, Doug, what were you wondering at that moment when Ron made the comment that he did? And so I began to put together a wondering question, because I often believe that people are not ready for our answers, but they are ready for our questions. So the next time we got together, I said, hey, Ron, I'm wondering something. You said something a week ago that just blew my mind. He said, what's that? I said, well, I meet a lot of people in my line of work who are pretty confident they're going to heaven, but I don't meet that many people who are so confident they're going to hell as you are. Why are you so convinced you're going to hell? And he said, Doug, you really don't know me very well, and if you did, you'd probably know the answer to that. I said, I'm still wondering though, Ron. He said, you ever heard of the Hell's Angels? I said, I sure have. He said, I was involved in a biker gang that was one step below the Hell's Angels. Hey, Doug, let me just put it to you this way. Been there and done it all. At that point, I didn't really want to stop and get into what all meant. I just thought, you know what, I'm not touching that. So I did what I want to encourage all of you to do and the people on your route. I think one of the big mistakes that we as Christians make is that we want to tend to hijack conversations, take them over, and dominate them with our worldview. What I've learned over the years is that a lot of people just need to be listened to. And so I'm working on how to listen people into the kingdom. And so that's what I did with Ron. I stopped and I said, Ron, it sounds like you know yourself well enough to know that you've done some things that God's not pleased with. And the reason why you know you're going to hell is because you know you deserve it. I don't know if he's a big Bruce Willis fan or what. He just looked at me and he said, damn straight, Doug, damn straight. Now, I know where I'm at this morning. I know I'm in a church building, and you aren't used to maybe hearing language like that here. Hey, can I just encourage you to get over it? If you're going to have conversations with people out there, that's the way they talk. And if you're going to react every time you hear something like, oh, my Christian sensibilities were just shocked, you're not going to have many spiritual conversations with people outside the walls. The reality is we have to accept people right where they are. That doesn't mean we have to endorse their behavior. That's what I think earned Jesus the title Friend of Sinners. Well, a couple weeks later, Ron came back to me and he said, hey, Doug. I went. I said, Ron, where'd you go? He said, well, you encouraged me to go watch that movie, The Passion of the Christ. I said, you went to see that? He said, yeah. I said, Ron, I'm wondering, what did you think of that movie? He said, Doug, that movie pissed me off. Now, if you're kind of tracking with me in this wondering thing, what do you think I might have asked next? I said, Ron, I'm wondering, what pissed you off about the movie? He said, Doug, I took my girlfriend. We've been living together for the past 6 years. And you know, at the end of that movie, there's a place where you can pray and supposedly invite Jesus into your life. She did that. And now she wants to go to church every Sunday, and her dad's a pastor, and he's on my back, and they want us to. She wants to get married, and he wants to marry us. I said, Ron, it sounds like you're upset and pissed off because you went to the movie with somebody you've known for 6 years really well. But now, so to speak, she's got a new lover, and his name is Jesus, and Jesus is changing her life, and you don't know who you're in a relationship with anymore. He looks at me and he says, damn straight, Doug, damn straight. I said, Ron, what would be holding you back from making the same decision she made so that you might experience what she's experiencing? He said, Doug, there is just no way I'm going to give up my drugs. There's no way I'm going to give up the things that I'm into, and I'm not going to become the next hypocrite that goes to church. I stopped and did some more listening. I said, Ron, it sounds like you know yourself so well that you don't have the power to change your own life. I said, could I encourage you with a thought? Let me stop here for a moment, take a time out in this story. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is when someone opens just a little crack in the door, we want to drive our truck in. We want to give them everything from Genesis to Revelations, even throw in the maps. We oversupply and kill the demand, and they learn a very important lesson. Don't ask a Christian a question like that again. You will get more than you've ever asked for. So I think we need to learn to keep it really short and really tight when someone opens the door, because after all, they could always ask for more. I said, Ron, could I share something with you you might find helpful? He said, sure. I said, do you think God's big enough, if you allowed him to put his spirit inside of you, that he actually could be the one that changes you from the inside out? And he said, Doug, I've never thought about it that way before. Does that kind of sound like the football field analogy, like the ball just got moved? In another conversation I had with Ron later, he gave me the permission to kind of share the gospel. In a minute and a half, I just kind of shared the essence of the gospel. And I, when Ron heard that, he said, I guess there is hope for me. Hey, New Point, here's the good news. Because I think you're probably wondering what happened in this story. Well, eventually Ron finished building our house, and he moved on and started working in other places. I wasn't quite sure myself. I was faithful in the time I had with him to give him what I knew. Last year, 15 years after the fact, I was speaking at one of the largest churches in Cincinnati, and I was sharing this story, and someone came up and said, I think I know this guy. And he's in my Bible study. And let me tell you, this past year, he's just became a Christian. Hey, we never know what God is going to do with the little seeds we plant. When I look at this story, all I really did was to be faithful to create some God space. What is God space? You've got it right here. It's defined right here. God space is a safe space created for cynics, skeptics, and spiritually curious people to raise their questions, express their doubts, and vent their frustrations. Was I a success? Did I experience, if you would, the touchdown? No. But you know what? All God is looking for us to do is to be faithful in the nudging ministry to help someone take the next step. He's going to bring other people across their path to possibly bring them to the foot of the cross. Right now, I'm going to bring Dwight back up because I feel the spirit of Forrest Gump has just come over me, because that's all I got to say about that. Thank you.
All right. Hey, let's thank Doug today. Would you do that? Thank you so much, Doug. We appreciate that. You know, maybe you're here today and maybe you're like Ron. Maybe you feel that you have done so much that God could never forgive you. We want to let you know that God is big enough to forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. And you say, well, Dwight, how do I come into that relationship with him? You pray a simple yet life-transforming prayer. You say, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and make me that man, that woman, that person that you want me to be. And that's just moving the ball down the field. That's taking the next step. And when you do that, God will show up in your life in an incredible, personal, and powerful way. And your life will never, ever be the same. And we encourage you to take that step. Many of us, though, here have already done that. And yet we're being challenged today to be able to be male people who carry that good news to those in our life. You see, I think one of the greatest days of our life is when we accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. Another great day in our life is when we help a family member or a friend or a coworker to experience the good news that we have. And we call it here building a bridge strong enough to bear the weight of truth. And Doug has a book that he's authored. It's called God's Space. And I've read this, and it's an incredible book of where he teaches us how to build those bridges that are strong enough to bear the weight of truth that we need to share with people, as he did with Ron. And others then came along and continued to build that bridge. And now today, Ron knows Jesus Christ as the forgiver of his sins and the leader of his life. There's a great section in here that teaches you and I how to ask those pertinent questions of where we don't just become the answer man or the answer woman, but we ask those questions that create a sense of wonder and curiosity. So I encourage you to pick it up today. It's $10, and I just encourage you to take advantage of that. I want to pray for us now. Would you bow your heads? God, we thank you today for your love for us. We thank you that you came to earth 2,000 years ago, and you delivered the mail. You told us about God who loves us and cares for us. And now you have called us to do that with the people in our lives. And so I pray today that we would be that, that we would understand that everybody spends forever somewhere, and that though our faith is personal, you've never meant it to be private. And so God, may this year our focus be connecting others to you, helping people to understand that you're not mad at them, but that you're in love with them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.